Well, I'm very grateful to be with you this morning, and I want to encourage you, if you've not done so, to pick up a new card that will give you the daily Bible reading for this quarter. Today is a special day for a lot of reasons, but it's a day that if you have not begun to do daily Bible reading, it's very easy, very simple. Pick up a card. We have a number of those, and you can begin today. And if you pick it up and continue, you can do what others are doing. Many of you are reading these scriptures every day. I've talked to several of you. And my message this morning is from the daily Bible reading on the quarter that we've just closed. I planned this message a few weeks ago, and then certain things came up, and I'm just now getting to present it. But it's from our daily Bible reading that we have just finished in the quarter. This quarter, please pick up a card and you can start today. And if you haven't started at all, but thank you to so many of you who have done just that. Words, very important. Words can heal wounds, can create wounds. Words unite. Words divide. Words bring honor. Words bring shame. Words are very important. I read about Mark Twain going to church one Sunday morning, and he went in and he sat through the worship opportunity that he had before him, and he participated. He listened to the sermon. When the service was over, he went to the back and greeted the preacher, and he said to the preacher, "I have a book at home with every word that you spoke today in it." And the preacher was taken back. He said, "Listen, I worked very hard on this sermon. It was mine. It was something that I worked on independently. I didn't look up any other person's work. I did that sermon. I'm really shocked to hear. I'd love to see the book that you have." And so Mark Twain promised him he would send it over in the morning. He wrapped up a book, sent it over to the church office. The preacher got the book, and he looked at it, and it was a dictionary. And then he opened it up, and on the flyleaf, it said, "Words. Just words. Just words." And that's what a lot of sermons are, just words. Words don't touch the hearts of people sometimes that hear a sermon. Words that are spoken make no difference. Sometimes, maybe the preacher's fault. Preacher hasn't prepared. I read about a preacher who said that he was waiting on the Lord to tell him what to say. No preparation. He just waited on the Lord to tell him what to say. And then someone told him, "I'll bet you heard the Lord say one day, 'You sure are lazy.'" It takes a lot of effort to plan words. But words are just that, unless they translate into something that touches our hearts and touches our lives. And words aren't going to mean very much to us unless we take a good look at ourselves. Hard to do. Take a good look at yourself. The words that Jason read for us a while ago were written to a young man. Well, what does that word "young" mean? I'm young compared to my brother Walker Whittle. He remembers when I was just a kid, don't you, Brother Whittle? And I remember when he was an old man. That was about 60, 70 years ago, Brother Whittle. It's a relative term. Some say that Timothy could have been as much as 40 years old. That was thought of as an age in which you made the transition from youth to older in that particular time period. So he could have been as much as 40 years old, and we refer to him as young Timothy. We don't know exactly. I don't know exactly how old some of you may. But young, kind of a relative term. This morning, I want you to take a good look at yourself as Paul was asking Timothy to take a good look at himself. Timothy was given a great responsibility, not just by Paul, but by God himself. And the same thing is true with us. We're given a great responsibility, but unless we choose to seriously look at ourselves and to look at words, words are just words. They're just words. They won't really reach out and grab our hearts and move us. This morning, as I take a look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 16, I want to mention three points at least. There are a lot of points. But I want to mention three that I hope you will think about as Paul is trying to tell Timothy to get with it. That if you're going to be a good minister of the gospel, and that's what we all are, we're servants of God. That's what a minister is. It's not just a preacher. It's not just someone who stands in front of a group and proclaims the word of God in a sermon. It's the person that sits in the pew as well, who has the same obligation to teach the word of God that I have or any other minister has. It's your obligation to teach. And so how are you going to be what you need to be unless you pay attention to words? I want you to think about Paul's statement, let no one despise your youth. You see, that might be a defensive term. If you're telling me, and I remember when I first started preaching, people would come to me and say, you're going to make a preacher one of these days. And they're implying I am just a kid, which I was, and that I needed to grow, which I did. And their encouragement was, you are doing well to this point, but one day you're really going to get it. I'm still trying to get it. Maybe I'm still that young man. But this was not a defensive thing where if, when someone said, listen, you're going to be a preacher one day, I'm not supposed to let them despise my youth. I'm supposed to say, listen, I'm a preacher right now. I'm not the preaching of tomorrow. I'm the preaching of today. I'm not the church tomorrow. I'm the church today. You see, sometimes if we aren't careful, we'll think about this statement as a defensive one where we're not supposed to let anybody say anything negative about our youth. That's not what this is about. This is about you living in such a way that no one can look at you and say, what a wasted time of youth. What a wasted life this guy is living or this woman is living. And we need to work at that. And Paul is going to encourage Timothy, listen, you're a young man. You stand up right now and you be who you need to be so that no one can come along and say negative, ugly, hurtful things about the way you behave while you are a young man. Psalm 71 and verse 5 says, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Every day, that's what we ought to be saying. I need to be saying that. You see, there are several of you that would look at me as an older person, and I need to be saying these things from my youth, from when I was that young man, from when I needed to grow, because you see, today I still need to grow. How important is it to listen to Solomon tell us in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember now. Remember now. It's not something you put off. If you want someone to be able to love you, honor you, and lift you up as a person who is serving God in a great way, you will remember now. Today, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And then Solomon reminds us in the next few phrases in that chapter, there's going to come a time when your body isn't going to function the way it does in its youth. And it's going to be much harder. But even those of us that have grown older and we've discovered what Solomon was talking about and how difficult life can be physically some days, we still need to remember now, today, words. Unless we remember the words that we're about to look at, they're just going to be words. They won't move us. They won't make a difference in our lives. And people will be able to despise whatever stage in life we are unless we move in a proper way. I want to encourage you to look at Timothy being encouraged to live a Christ-like life. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to go to the cross? Well, in a real sense, it does. We are to take up our cross and we're to follow God every day of our lives. So how do I live a Christ-like life? Well, we've already begun by saying we ought to live in such a way that no one can despise our youth. But then he begins to tell us some specific things in speech. Do you pay attention to your language? There are people that use language that is so ugly and negative and hurtful, and they don't even pay attention to it. They've gotten used to putting people down. They've gotten used to using God's name in vain. They've gotten used to using what we might term as curse words that our culture now sees as just normal conversation. We hear it all the time on TV, in movies. We read it in literature all the time. But God says you need to be paying attention to your speech if you're going to be the servant you ought to be and if you're going to be the kind of person that you ought to be. How do you behave? How do you conduct yourself? How do you live life? Not only should your speech be what it ought to be, but you ought to not just talk the talk, but as we say, walk the walk. You walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We have sung a song that I don't remember when I learned it, Footprints of Jesus. We've heard him calling, and we need to follow walking in his footprints. You see, our conduct ought to be the conduct of our Lord. And then in love. Love isn't about a feeling. Love is about doing what is best for other people. In the scripture that Mike read this morning, as we were being introduced to these good men who have chosen to give their lives in service, and that's what this is about when you serve as an elder. It is a life of service. It's not a life of a high place of honor where you talk down to people and give them direction and instruction and they're supposed to follow everything you say. It's a life of service that they've accepted, and it is to be a life of service given in love, thinking about what is best for our group as a whole, thinking about what is best for individuals when things aren't going the way life ought to go. Giving our lives in love to other people is hard, hard work, and it needs to be done if we're going to be what we need to be. And it has to be done with a great attitude. I might do something, well, I'll do this, but, and we've got a good reason for why we feel like it's a good idea for us to be angry and upset while we do it. God is saying, think about the way you do things. It's not just what you say. It's not just how you show love. It's not just how you conduct yourself. It's an attitude that we must have if we're going to be expressing Christ in our lives and in faith. I think about the faith that Jesus had when he left heaven and came and took upon himself the form of a servant, gave up unthinkable things. Hard for us to give up time. Hard for us to turn loose some money sometimes when people need help, when there are things that need to be done that cost. It's hard for us to use our ability to teach other people because when you teach, you've got to prepare and you've got to do the things that are necessary to get ready to be what God wants you to be. And so we have to trust that God is going to give us everything we need. He says that he would. We have to trust that God is going to be with us wherever we go in the doing of his will. He says that he will. We have to be like Christ in our faith. And then in purity, we have to be people who listen to the message of God and keep ourselves clean from sin. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so that necessitates us calling upon God. It necessitates upon us repenting consistently before God and seeking His blessings, His love, His forgiveness. We need this morning to keep our lives pure. If you want to be Christ-like, you will not leave this room today with your life in a spiritual mess. You'll clean it up. You will let God make you holy and make you pure because you turn to Him and listen to Him if you want to be Christ-like. The second thing Paul tells Timothy is you got to pay attention. That's hard, isn't it? Paying attention is hard. As I've gotten a little bit older, one of my problems is hearing. I don't hear everything that is said. And sometimes I hear what is not said. I will be with somebody sometimes, and I'll think I hear something, and I'll say, "What did you say?" And they'll say, "I didn't say anything." And I'll say, "Well, I guess that's why I didn't hear it." But hearing is a really serious, difficult problem, and I have to pay special attention if I catch what is being said. Some of you understand that real well. But we got to pay attention to life. If you want people to not despise who you are, what you are, where you are in life, you're going to be paying attention. And Paul gives Timothy some things to pay attention to. Number one, he says, pay attention to reading. That's why our elders have given us these little cards. You see, this may be just a card to you. It may be just a piece of paper that somebody did a lot of little nice work on there. It looks good, and it could be a good bookmarker, but that's not the intent of it. The intent of it is to get us reading the Word of God, because you see, Paul is telling Timothy, if you want to be what you need to be, you pay attention to reading. And we're not just talking about reading comic books or romantic novels or history or something like that. We're talking about reading the Word of God so that we know what is there, so that when Roy Sharp or Billy Smith or anyone else stands here and preaches the Word of God, we know what the Word of God says. You need to be checking on me to make sure that I understand that the book of 1 Timothy is in the New Testament and not in the Old Testament. You need to be thinking with me about the kinds of things that are happening here. And if you read, you're going to be in a much better position to do that. Exhortation, another word that's used there and translated sometimes, is encouragement. We need to be people who are encouraging. When I stand here in the pulpit, boy, it is awfully frustrating when I step down and someone comes and is discouraged because of something that I said. Not my job. My job is not to discourage anybody. Even when I'm talking to somebody whose life is full of sin, it's not my job to discourage them. It's my job to help them see where they are before God and to stand up and do something about it. I need to be encouraging to people. I need to be encouraging and helpful. And I will not do that unless I pay attention and think about what I'm doing. And then I have to pay attention to what I'm encouraging people to believe. Doctrine means teaching. I have to pay attention to God's teaching, pure teaching that comes from God, not what Roy Sharp thinks. It's not about what Billy Smith thinks. It's not about what these elders think, apart from the doctrine that God gives us in His inspired Word. We must pay attention. That's why we need to read. So we can pay better attention and understand when we do pay attention what is being said. Well, what happens if you work and live in such a way that no man will despise your youth? What about Timothy? What's going to happen if he lives a Christ-like life? What's going to happen when he pays attention to the things that Paul says that we ought to pay attention to? First of all, we'll have the opportunity to really seriously think. To meditate doesn't just mean to think, but it carries with it the idea of thinking in such a way that you are prepared then to get up and do. the psalmist says in his law, meditate day and night. You see, it will do no good for you to read or to listen and hear words and think about them. And that's where it stops. Because you see, then words are only words. And they won't move you. They won't get you to get up and begin to do the things that Paul is encouraging Timothy and the many other things God wants us to do in his word. And so it will give us a chance to meditate on these. Think about, how can I put this into my life? How can I be moved by these words? The second thing, it will give you a chance to give yourselves entirely to them. Well, come on, I've got to make a living. Come on, I've got to have some recreational time. Come on, I've got to have some time to myself. You see, God's word gives us a chance for all of that. If you would give yourself, and I give myself entirely to being the kind of person that God tells us we ought to be, we're going to have a chance to work hard, excel, be who we need to be to our employers. If you're an employer yourself, you have a chance to be who you need to be to the people that work with you. We've got a chance to be everything when we give ourselves to this ministry. If you listen, you'll save yourselves. You see, a statement like that, I'm sure there were people in the first century who listened to the Apostle Paul. No one that wrote anything in the New Testament had more to say about grace and salvation being combined. We are saved by the grace of God. It's not of yourselves. It's not what you do. It is not of works that you do that you might be able to brag to anybody about. I saved myself. But you see, what we have to do is to do the things that we've looked at and put ourselves in a position to receive the grace of God. If someone were to come forward this morning and repent of your sins and be buried in this pool of water back here for the remission of sins, it wouldn't be about what you are doing. It would be about what God is doing. Just letting someone bury you in water is not what salvation is about. It's about you giving yourself to God in love, in obedience to his will, wanting what he offers to us freely, the gift of salvation. But when we do what we have been encouraged to do by Paul, that he was encouraging Timothy to do, Paul says, you'll save yourselves. You will put yourself in a position to be what God wants you to be, and his grace will cover you, and you will be clean and pure. And then you'll save those who hear you. I want this morning, I want to go live with the Lord forever. I really, really do. I want Jan to go with me. I want Meg and John and Rachel to go with me. I want Cyrus and Cora and Kai and Florine to go with me. I want them to hear words, not just words, not just words, not just words. But I want them to hear those words that will move them. Because you see, they have to develop their faith. They have to decide if they're going to be what Paul is telling Timothy he needs to be. But when we do that, we're going to put ourselves in a position to live with God forever, but we're going to give people around about us a chance to be led in that same direction. So this morning, I'm asking you to take a good look at yourself. James refers to this book as a mirror. When we look in it, we can see what we ought to be, and we can see what we are. but we won't see either unless we take a look, a really good look at ourselves. And so this morning I'm asking you, if you haven't been to Jesus for the cleansing power washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you haven't repented of your sins in order to be ready to do that, great day for it. If you're a child of God and your life has not been given fully to what God wants it, a great day to turn to the Lord and repent and pray. As you think about yourself this morning, if a public response would help you this morning be in a right relationship with God, it's our hope, that's our prayer that you'll come. Let's stand and let's sing.